You guys have that hope this morning? That's what we're going to talk about. Everything this season is going to be about Jesus Christ, His birth, His resurrection, His salvation, and all the wonderful things that He brought to us. But you know, we're 4 weeks away from Christmas. So there's a lot of waiting involved. And that's what Advent is about. Some of you who are older may remember these great commercials from the 70s or 80s. They would open the ketchup bottle and they would start pouring the ketchup. Y'all remember what happened? It would slowly start to come out. And there was a song they sang. Anybody remember that? Somebody said it. Anticipation. I won't sing that, but it's what the words were. And that's the way we need to approach Christmas. Not just the point of getting gifts, not just the point of having fun, but anticipating Christ's return. You know, you guys were talking in adult Sunday school this morning. Is there anything that has to happen for the rapture to take place? No. That is the next event on God's timetable. It is the next thing. We will hear the trump and we will be with Jesus Christ. And then 7 years later, He will return to this earth to set up His millennial kingdom. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what we look forward to. And you see, if you are a Christian, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, that is your sincere hope. If you are not a Christian, it may be your sincere fear. Because when the rapture happens, the church is taken up. Tribulation breaks out on the face of this planet. Literally, hell on earth breaks out. So I pray this morning that everybody here has surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. If you have not, I want to present the case for hope this morning. This is a case that's presented in the Scripture. And, you know, waiting isn't easy. Anticipating isn't easy. Sometimes we get to the point where we get kind of tired, you know. Gosh, it's been 2,000 years. Is He really coming back? Yes, He is. The Bible promises that He's coming back. The Bible tells us that we are already living in the last days, and that as we look around us and we see the world getting darker, we know that time is approaching. So we need to be hopeful. You know, Peter talks about it. I gave you a verse there, 1 Peter 1:13. He talks about being active in our hope, and we're going to look at that in a minute. But the second coming of Christ, the rapture of His church, these are referred to as the great and glorious hope. And it is a time when the love that Jesus brought when He was born in that manger is going to be perfected. The hope that Jesus brought when He was born in that manger is going to be perfected. The peace that He brought when He was born in that manger is going to be perfected. The joy that He brought when He was born in that manger is going to be perfected. So these are things that we look forward to, we anticipate, but we got to have a basis for it, don't we? This hope, what does hope mean? How many of you say, I hope it snows on Christmas? Okay. How many of you say, I hope I get fill in the blank for Christmas? You got your, okay. I hope Granny doesn't burn the turkey. Couple of honest people. All right. So those are things we hope for, but that's not what the Bible talks about when we talk about hope. Those are kind of wishful thinking. Hope is something that is grounded in God's promises, which is why we watched that video a little bit. It's grounded in God's promises, but it's active. It's not just, oh, I wish. So turn to 1 Peter 1:13, if you will, and I want to give you an idea of what hope really is, because we're going to see that this kind of biblical hope, this hope that Jesus brought, not only gives us hope for today, but it gives us assurance for tomorrow, and it gives us hope for tomorrow. But in 1 Peter 1:13, Peter's talking about how we need to live now in light of the promised coming of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's talking about getting prepared. And this idea that he's presenting comes from the way that the men used to dress back in the Middle East. They would wear these long tunics. They would go all the way down to their ankles. Well, if you're ready to run, if you're ready to move, if you're ready to go somewhere, you don't want something dragging around your ankles. So gird up your loins simply meant this. They would take the hem of the garment and they would shove it in their belts, exposing those dreaded knees, okay? But they were ready to run. And this is the idea of being ready. He says, gird up your loins, be sober. So be thoughtful and put your hope fully on the grace that is going to be revealed to you at the coming of Jesus Christ. This is an active thing that we do with hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's part of being prepared today. It's part of being prepared for what is to come and what's getting ready to happen in the next 5 minutes. So the question today for you guys is, do you have this kind of hope? Do you have the kind of hope that prepares you for today, that prepares you for tomorrow, and prepares you for all eternity? That's the only kind of hope that's going to last. So I want to bring out three things today. Number one, hope is a certainty about the future that impacts the present. Hope is a certainty about the future that impacts the present. And we need to understand this. Our hope is built on these scriptures. I had them read this morning Isaiah 9:2. But if we look back at Isaiah 9, verses 2 and 6, we see part of this hope. So turn over there, Isaiah 9, we're going to read verses 2 and 6. And remember, the book of Isaiah was written when the people of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. You guys talked about that also in Sunday school this morning. This was a tough time. They were getting ready to be taken. Judah, the southern kingdom, was about to be taken. Israel was already gone. And Isaiah writes, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Then go down to verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." This was the hope that the Jewish people had. This was all the hope that they could deal with. They were oppressed. They had been oppressed for hundreds of years. They'd gone through the Assyrians. They'd gone through the Babylonians. They'd gone through the Medo-Persians. They'd gone through the Greeks. Now they were oppressed by Rome. And they wanted salvation. They wanted God's promise of restoration. They wanted God's promise of a Messiah. And they were looking forward to it. But they weren't all looking forward to it in the way that God had it planned. And I want to talk to you today about a guy named Simeon. And you may have heard of him, but turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read in verses 25 through 35, but let me set the stage. Jesus has been born. According to Jewish custom, Mary and Joseph had to take him to the temple to present him at the temple. He was going to basically, what we would think of as being dedicated, being consecrated to God. And here's what happens when they take him to the temple. Luke 2, 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." History tells us that Simeon, when this happened, was over 100 years old. So a couple of things to note: that he's over 100, he's still getting out to temple every day. He's still active. He's still actively putting his faith in Jesus Christ, in the Messiah. He doesn't know the child's name yet, except he does know the prophecy that he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. But he's been told, just wait. You will not see death until you see the Messiah. Can you imagine his anticipation? 100 years old. We don't know how long it was that God had been telling him this, that this man, Simeon, had been waiting for the Messiah. But we know that since he was 100, at least, he had seen the Roman occupation. He had seen at least two bloody civil wars in Israel. He had seen lots of infighting. He had seen false messiahs come. He had seen all kinds of things that could have taken his hope away, because circumstances were bad. He could have been just stripped out of that hope. But you see, Simeon had his hope in something. He wasn't just hoping for something. And he had his hope in God. And that is so important, because God will not strip away hope. God provides hope that is everlasting. So just imagine, he's sitting there, and then one day the Spirit says, "Today's the day. Go." What do you think he felt? Put yourself in his shoes. You've been waiting 50 years for something, and today you know is the day. How are you going to feel? Anybody? Kids, how do you feel on Christmas Eve? You guys can answer this. Knowing you're going to get up in the morning and open your Christmas gifts. How?
Can't wait.
Can't wait. Right. That's right. You can't wait. That had to be what was going on in his mind too. I can't wait. So can you just imagine this 100-year-old guy running down the road to get to the temple? They're probably going, "Hey, you need to slow down. You need to take it easy." He's like, "Uh-uh, not today. Not today." So he gets there, and here they come. Now remember, everybody at that time was thinking, "Ooh, the Messiah, he's going to rule Israel. He's going to conquer the Romans. He's going to beat up on these bad people that are oppressing us. He's going to be a military leader. He's going to be a great king." All of which is true, just wasn't the right time. So here he goes. He's running down to the temple. He gets there, and here come Mary and Joseph carrying this little bitty baby, probably around 8 to 10 days old. 8 to 10 days. Simeon knew enough to know who that little baby was. You guys get that? Because he knew the Scripture. He knew a child would be the Messiah. He knew that. And look what he did. You talk about being excited. He said, he picked up the child and he said, "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace. I got the gift I was waiting for, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples." And look back at verse 32. This is just amazing. "A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles." That's you and me, folks. "And the glory of your people, Israel." Simeon knew exactly what God had prophesied about this Messiah that was going to come. He knew who the Messiah was going to be. So he was ready. He was so ready for that child to be brought in. He ran to the temple, and he didn't sit there and go, "Well, that's, you know, you don't have any armor on. You're not a military man." He saw the child and he ran and he grabbed him. Just like I bet you there'll be people grabbing Christmas presents, ready to rip them open Christmas Day. Right, Carson? Yeah, we're going to do that. So that's how we need to approach the birth of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that it is the best thing that ever happened. It's better than the coolest gift we're going to get. It is the best gift we ever are going to get. We look at Simeon also and we see the second thing about true hope. Hope is birthed out of longings and desperate need. Hope is birthed out of longings and desperate need. So how do we see that in Simeon's life? Well, I told you he lived 100 years. He's gone through all of these uprisings. He's waiting for the Messiah. And we see this, look in verse 25. He says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." A lot of people ask, well, what was the consolation of Israel? That's the wrong question. The question is, who is the consolation of Israel? The consolation of Israel is talking about the Messiah. It comes from Isaiah also. It talks about the Comforter, the Redeemer of Israel. So he has been waiting all of these years. We know this from what the Scripture tells us. For the Redeemer, for the Comforter of Israel, for the Messiah. Why has he been waiting? Well, I told you, he's been seeing political upheaval. This idea of waiting that this Scripture talks about, it's a painful waiting. It's like you're longing for something so bad that you're opening yourself up to being hurt. You're giving your, what it literally means is, I give you my full access. I'm letting you have my entire being, and I'm so built up, I'm so longing for you that nothing else matters. David said it like this in the Psalms. He says, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God." So if you ever been really thirsty, and water, you just want water? That's the way he's talking about it. This is what Simeon's feeling. Despite the fact he's 100, despite the fact this has been going on for however many years, he is so thirsty, he's so ready to see this Messiah that he's like panting for water. Do y'all feel like that? Are you ready for that? You know, the last words of the Bible basically are, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Do we pray for that? Talking about the rapture again, do we pray for that? I pray that we do. We want Jesus to come. We want Jesus to come back and redeem these people, redeem His church, deal with Israel, set up His kingdom. That's how much we need to hope for it, though. That's how much we need to long for it. And Simeon knew, because he understood the Scriptures, he knew that Israel needed its consolation. Israel needed its comforter. He knew that he was in desperate need of seeing that Savior. So as you sit here today and you think about Advent, I want to challenge you and encourage you to ask yourself this question: do I need Jesus? Now, we all know the church answer, right? Everybody's going to say yes. But do you really need Him? Do you need Him like a deer needs water when he's panting? Is it the most important thing for you to get Jesus right now? Is it the most important thing for you to be in a relationship with Him? Don't settle for what the world throws at us this Christmas. Do not settle for Christmas parties, no matter how fun they are. Don't settle for presents. Don't settle for anything else. Demand Jesus. That's the best gift, and it will change your life. Just think about Simeon. He's 100 years old plus. Still spry enough to get down to the temple. Still going because he's anticipating. And think about his return. Do you long for it? Do you need it? You know, we can talk about all the things, and we have in our Revelation study, about all the things that are going to be different when Christ returns. But just think, never have to deal with health issues anymore. We've got several people out sick today. Never have to deal with that sin issue anymore. That'll be the greatest one, won't it? Don't have to deal with death anymore. There's a lot of things that are going to be different when we live eternally. And that's why hope makes a difference. And I want you to see that Simeon's life was changed because of that hope. Now, the hope was coming in the future. He knew that. He knew that this was just a little child, but he knew that that government would be put on his shoulders. He knew that that child would become the comforter, the consolation of Israel. And if you'll notice, look in verse 35. He also knew something else. He's talking to Mary. You know, Mary's probably like, who is this guy? You know, she comes. He comes up, he grabs my child, he makes this wonderful prayer to God. And then he talks to Mary and he said in verse 34, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. But then look at verse 35. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. He knew that the life of Jesus would bring Mary sorrow. He knew, because the Old Testament taught that this Messiah, this comforter of Israel, was going to be killed, was going to be intentionally lifted up so that the sins of all could be forgiven, Gentiles, Jews alike. This old man. And we don't know anything else about him, but we know one thing. We know that he got it right. We know that he realized, and this is our third point today, that hope would be found in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. So we have to sit there and think, well, why in the world could, or how in the world maybe, did this old man, we don't know anything about his education, don't know anything about his teaching, training, how could this man get it right when so many people missed it? Right? You think about in the Bible all the stories of the people who interacted with Jesus Christ. You had the scribes, you had the Pharisees. These guys were the most learned people in the Bible that they had at the time. Yet they missed the whole idea of Jesus. And here's why. Jesus didn't fit their expectations. Now I want you to think about the ludicrousy of that statement for a minute. Jesus, the Son of God, did not fit their expectations. But that's what it was. They were looking for this military ruler. They were looking for someone to bring them peace by triumphing over Rome. They were looking for someone to end their oppression physically. Jesus came to set the captives free. He ended all oppression, but it was the oppression of sin. They weren't looking for the right thing. They wanted this military leader. They weren't looking at the basis for God's promise. As we go ahead and read the rest of Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Messiah was going to be born as a child. So why was it Simeon only? Why didn't the priest, why didn't the scribes get it? And the answer is because they weren't looking at the Scripture. They weren't basing their hope on God's promises. They were basing their hope on their expectations, or really, if you want to be honest, on their wishes. They wanted Roman rule to end. And the only person, they tried revolution twice. You know, that didn't work very well. So the only person that can ever end this Roman oppression, they knew, was the Messiah. And you know what? A little bitty baby ain't going to do anything, is he? This can't be the Messiah. What'd God tell you? Unto you a child is born, a son is given. And he talks all throughout the Old Testament about what's going to happen to this son. And Simeon got it all. He knew it because he looked at the right thing. He didn't look at his expectations. And here's the thing, he wasn't hoping for something. And I mentioned this before, but I want to make sure you guys get the difference. It's one thing to hope for something. It's another thing to have your hope in something. I can hope for a lot of things, but when those things falter, I hope my 401k does well. I hope it snows on Christmas. I hope I get this. I hope Penny doesn't burn the turkey. Whatever. But if I am hoping in Jesus Christ, if I am hoping in God and His promises, that hope will never go away. Y'all see that? My hope is in something that cannot be changed, that cannot be diverted, can't be deflected, can't be put off, can't be changed at all. My hope is in Him. Well, what if the situation doesn't turn out like I want? It doesn't matter because my hope is in Him. If my hope is in Him, I'm trusting in Him. I'm longing for Him. I'm wanting to be whatever He wants me to be. And if we have that kind of hope, a hope that is it's a certainty about the future that is changing the way we live today. How should hope change the way we live today? Because we can tell people about our hope. We can tell people how confident we are about our hope. It makes it so much easier to share the gospel with people because we don't really care what people do to us. We understand that we are taking God's word out. We are taking these promises out to people. And the Holy Spirit, just like He worked with Simeon, is going to work on anybody that hears Him. If it's their time, He's going to tweak them. He's going to put pressure on them. He's going to do whatever He wants to do to get them to respond. But it changes the way we live. What if Simeon had just said, I'm an old man. I'm too old. I'm not going to run down to the church today. He would have missed out on that blessing, wouldn't he? Because this had to happen at a certain day under Jewish law. Had to happen. And he just happened to be there? No, it said he was guided by the Spirit to go down. So that future hope changed what he did that very day. It changed what he did ever since God had been promising him, you will not die until you see the Messiah. That hope grew out of his desperate longing and his need for the Comforter to come. Y'all talked about Psalm 107, I think, today in Sunday school too. I came in at the end of that. You know, the people are wandering in the wilderness and they are crying out. That's another way. We see all kinds of verses like that where the people cry out in desperate need of God. Do you need God today? Do you really need God, or do you just say, yeah, we need God, it's Christmas time? No, you need God every minute, every hour, every second, every millisecond, however small you want to go. We need God all the time. And we need God to be the forefront. We need God to be the primary focus that we have this season. Not anything about the trappings of Christmas. Yes, they're fun. But the focus of this season needs to be on God, and it needs to be on the person of Jesus Christ. Because He came, as Simeon said, to do something. And what He came to do was to give Himself a sacrifice for us so that we could have this kind of hope that Simeon had, so that we could be out here boldly doing things that 100-year-old people shouldn't be doing. That's not right. Normally wouldn't be doing. How about that? God gave him the power. God enables us to do anything He calls us to do. And that day He called Simeon to go down there. He would have given Simeon power to get there if he'd had to fly, I bet you. But the point is, Simeon put his hope in the promises of God, and that's what I challenge you to do too. The Bible tells us that we are to put our hope in Jesus Christ and nothing else, that we are to wait expectantly for His return, the rapture and then the second coming, and that we are to be prepared at every single moment because we don't know when He's coming. We are to be prepared every single moment. So saying, if He came at 1 o'clock today, is there somebody that I wanted to share the gospel with that I haven't done it yet? You got 1 hour and 10 minutes. What would you do? Where would you go? Is there some family member that I need to say I'm sorry to? Is there something that you need to do to be ready for His return? Because it's active. He wants you to be sober. Remember, you're ready for battle. You're going to pick that skirt up, Tuck it in your belt. You're ready to go. You're going to think. And we're going to put our hope actively in Him, rely completely on Him. And then we're going to trust in Him. And then we're going to rest. That's the great thing about the holiday season. We can rest as long as we rest in Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You today. We thank You for sending Your Son to die for us those many years ago. Father, we know that that was Your plan before we ever came to be, before the world was founded. And we just praise You and glorify You for that. Father, You've given us a hope that is grounded in Your Word that You have told us cannot be wrong, will not be changed, and will not be lost. Father, we put our trust in You this morning. We thank You for these words. We thank You for Your promises. We thank You for Your Son. I pray that anyone that does not have this kind of hope today, if they don't have Your Son, they need to take Your Son as Lord and Savior. It's a Christmas gift that You've offered, but Lord, they have to take it. They have to open it and take it into their hearts. Father, for those of us who are Christians, I pray that we remember that. We understand what it is to long for You, to need You, just like we did when we cried out for salvation. Father, You're working in our lives every single day. We thank You for that. I pray that in this season we look and we see what You're doing, and we give You all the honor and all the glory. And Father, most of all, this time of year, we do thank You for Jesus Christ, and it is in His name we pray. Amen.